One final jobs report just days before the election.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and in just a couple of hours, we'll get the last monthly jobs report before Election Day. It'll tell us how many jobs were created in October and what the new unemployment rate is. And as soon as it comes out, you're going to hear a lot of political spin. So before that happens, here is the straight story from Marketplace's Scott Tong.
As a preview to today's number, the payroll firm ADP yesterday found in its survey 158,000 new jobs in October. So to be unpartisan, call the glass at the midpoint. It suggests 25 straight months of new jobs, a 7.8% jobless rate on the way down. Now the half-empty part from economist Gary Burtless at the Brookings Institution.
At this pace, it would take a long time to get the unemployment rate down to 5%, which is, I think, what we would need if we had a fully employed economy.
The healthcare and education sectors have been solid job creators, and everyone is waiting for construction amid signs new homes are going up again. If you want to look ahead, say, to the next election, Mike Duker at Russell Investments thinks today's slow and steady job creation will bring the unemployment rate down to 7.3%. Whoever's in the White House.
They'll probably take credit for that, but it's all kind of baked into the business cycle, I think, at this point.
Baked into the business cycle. There's a bumper sticker. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Well, jobs are, of course, a huge issue for the presidential candidates, but there are a lot of others, including education. Amy Scott has been looking into the candidates' plans for education, and she joins us now from the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with higher education, Amy. College affordability has been a big issue in the campaign. What do we know about what these candidates would do on that front?
Well, the Obama administration has increased funding for the Pell Grant program, which helps low-income students pay for college. It's also reduced monthly student loan payments for eligible borrowers and increased loan forgiveness. But going forward, President Obama wants to use federal funding to reward colleges that work to keep college costs down and punish those who don't.
And what about Mitt Romney? What's his plan on this front?
Well, Governor Romney says that federal aid is actually part of what's driving up tuition. He calls it a sort of blank check that allows colleges to charge whatever they want. He has said he doesn't plan to cut funding for Pell Grants, but wants to refocus them on students that need them most. And essentially, he wants to let the market work, to give families more information about things like loan repayment rates and job prospects for college graduates, and then let the colleges compete for students.
And obviously, education starts a long way before college. What about these two candidates' positions on K through 12 education?
They actually agree on quite a few issues, on increased accountability for teachers, evaluating teachers based on student performance on standardized tests. They both want more charter schools, which are publicly funded but run privately. Both have said they want to reform the No Child Left Behind Act to make it less narrow, less focused on standardized tests. But where they really disagree is on the role of the federal government, which has expanded under the Obama administration. Romney wants to leave more up to the states. He favors school choice, so vouchers that let parents choose schools and take their federal funding with them. But Jeremy, a lot comes down to Congress and rewriting No Child Left Behind, which is actually several years overdue for reauthorization.
And the issue of education is not something we've heard a whole lot about in this campaign compared with many other issues. Is it important to voters?
Well, according to a recent Gallup poll, only 4% of voters consider it the most important issue in this election. And just for comparison, ahead of the 2000 election, George W. Bush versus Al Gore, that was 17%.
Wow.
So it really shows how much things have changed and really, I think, how important the economy has become.
Marketplace education correspondent Amy Scott, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up more than 1% in Tokyo, down just slightly right now across Europe as we await that jobs report from the Labor Department here in this country. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 136 points to close at 13,233.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
The New York City Marathon will take place as scheduled Sunday morning. That's a decision that many New Yorkers are unhappy about because of all the problems that remain following Sandy. Much of the city still has no power or subway service, for example. But there are thousands of runners and businesses banking on the race, as Peter O'Dowd reports.
The marathon pumps $350 million into the economy, so it's no wonder it felt like a celebration on the Race Expo's opening day. Thousands of runners from all over the globe were picking up race packets and shelling out cash for running gear. Hugh Gaither sells $14 socks. He says he would have lost out if the biggest marathon in the country was canceled, though he says sales on the first day are not as strong as he expected.
We've probably sold a few hundred so far. We would expect to sell a few thousand before it's all over with under normal circumstances, so we'll have to wait and see.
Missing the race would have also been a letdown for Diana Schmeiting, who traveled from the Netherlands with a friend. They each spent $3,000 on flights and hotels. Schmeiting says she worried about the money going to waste, but then seeing Sandy's damage helped put that in perspective.
That's life. The marathon is just a game, a sportive game. It's not so important with the storm.
Officials for the New York City Marathon have revised their policies for those who can't make it this weekend. Anyone stranded because of the storm will automatically be allowed to run in 2013. In New York, I'm Peter O'Dowd for Marketplace.
And finally to Sweden, where firefighters responded to a report that flames could be seen through the window of an apartment building. But their fears were quickly put to rest when they discovered that the flames were on a TV screen that was playing a DVD that simulates a fireplace. The firefighters say the video was quite relaxing, so they actually stayed a while to watch it. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.